The other day I saw an advert. It's an advert which took you through a teacher's day. And at the end of the advert, at the end of this day, you got this message. Teaching. Every lesson shapes a life. Get into teaching. Now, those of you who are teachers or who have been teachers may recognise some of what the advert portrayed, but you may look at it with some cynicism as portraying the nice side of teaching rather than what is often the grim reality. Well, as we continue today our series in 2 Timothy, we see Paul doing just the opposite. He writes to Timothy about gospel ministry. In chapter 1, verse 8, he calls Timothy, who is a church leader too, and I quote, "Join with me in suffering for the gospel." And now in chapter 2, verse 3, he says, "Endure hardship with us." And actually, it's the same Greek word. So he's saying again, suffer for the gospel. However we translate it, it's hardly a catchy slogan, is it? Get into gospel work, it means suffering. Are you ready to sign up? Perhaps not. I remember in one church we were in, we had a service where in the service we commissioned a couple to go overseas to be involved in Christian ministry. And at the end of the service, one of our church members came up to me and was a bit upset because of one of the hymns that we'd sung. Let me put a verse up for you and see if you can see why she was upset. It reads like this: "So send I you to labour unrewarded, to serve unpaid, unloved, unsought, unknown, to bear rebuke, to suffer scorn and scoffing. So send I you to toil for me alone." Well, you can perhaps see why she was upset. But then you look and you read a biography of somebody like James Hudson Taylor, who was the founder of the China Inland Mission. Or you talk to vicars in the inner city of London, and actually will say, that is ministry. That is ministry. It's hard. It involves suffering. Gospel work can involve suffering. And all that provides the context for these verses from 2 Timothy. Paul has called Timothy to join with me in suffering for the gospel. And in these verses, he gives Timothy three injunctions. The first is, be strong. If you've got your Bible there, verse 1. "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Paul knew Timothy. Paul knew Timothy was a hesitant person, naturally timid. He also knew Timothy's situation there in that church in Ephesus. And he knew that Timothy was facing opposition. And he calls him to be strong. But note, it's not a case of somehow dredging up some strength from within himself. No, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. He was to look to Jesus and to trust the grace of Jesus would strengthen him for the task to which Timothy had been called. And Paul does this out of his own experience, because Paul's own testimonies he sees in Philippians 4 verse 13 was this: "I can do everything through him who gives me strength." So the call to Timothy is, Timothy, be strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus. And what Paul was saying is that, look, it is through grace we are saved, and it is through grace that we serve. Now I realise this is an apostle writing to a church leader, but I think the same truth applies to all of us, whatever our Christian ministry may be, that we need to be strong to face the hardships, and that strength comes from the grace of God. Sorry, am I not on this one? I seem to be fading as I move across the side. I'll stand still. What Paul is writing here applies as much to us as it does to anyone else. Whatever our ministry, we rely on the strength that comes from the grace of Christ Jesus. So friends, if you're involved in an area of ministry, and you should be involved in an area of ministry, if you're not praying about that ministry, you are in effect saying either that this is not part of the gospel ministry of this church, or you're saying this ministry doesn't matter. Every ministry is part of the gospel ministry, and every ministry needs the strength that God provides. So friends, whether you're preaching, teaching in Sunday club, leading a home group, inviting a friend to church, working the sound desk, playing an instrument, manning the creche, providing coffee, cleaning the church, whatever it is, our ministry matters. Our ministry enhances the gospel. And for that, we need strength, and the strength that only God can provide. So you, Timothy, or Sarah, or Andrew, or Jane, whatever your name is, and whatever your ministry is, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And we gain that strength through prayer. Paul says to Timothy, be strong. And secondly, Paul says to Timothy, be true. Again, look at the Bible with me if you would, verse 2. And the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Paul was in prison. Many people had deserted him. Many people had deserted his gospel. And his great concern for Timothy was that that wouldn't happen to Timothy, that he stayed true, not just to Paul, but to the gospel. The gospel which Paul has already described in chapter 1, verse 13, as the pattern of sound teaching, as verse 14, the good deposit. Paul was saying to Timothy, Timothy, stay true, guard the gospel. Hold on to the truth, and then call others to hold on to the truth of the gospel as well. Timothy, Paul was saying, stay true to the gospel and pass the gospel on to others as well. Paul was drawing towards the end of his life, and he had passed this pattern of sound teaching on to Timothy. But he knew the day would come when Timothy would come to the end of his life. And the call was to pass on this pattern of sound teaching to others. And those he's going to pass it on to needed two qualities. The first quality, he says, they needed to be reliable, or they needed to be faithful. As we saw with Andrew Evans last week, Paul had been hurt by those who deserted him. Verse 15 of chapter 1, people like Phygellus and Hermogenes, who left him. And Paul knew that when people deserted him, when people deserted the gospel, it damaged the gospel as well. And it made outreach and sharing faith that much harder. And so Paul says to Timothy, stay true and hand on the gospel to those who also will stay true to the gospel. One of the big tasks for the church in every age is to be faithful to the word of God and to teach it to the next generation. Last Sunday, as one of the services finished, a visitor to the church said to me, "Oh, Ian, it's great to find a Bible-believing church." And that is not just one person's comment. I've heard it a number of times, not just here, but in other churches. But it reminds us, A, what we are, We are a Bible-believing church, but it also reminds us what we must do. We must hold on to that Bible. We must hold on to the truth, to this pattern of sound teaching, to this good deposit, to guard the gospel. Because our generation needs the gospel. It needs the word of God, and the next generation does as well. Paul encourages Timothy, stay true. Pass on the good deposit to those who will be faithful and stay true to it as well, and who secondly will be able to teach others, so that the truth of Scripture, the truth of the gospel, is passed from one generation to the next. Timothy, endure hardship with me. Join with me in suffering. For that you need to be strong. For that you need to be true. And thirdly, for that you need to be persevering. And here we get, in a sense, to the nitty-gritty of what Paul was calling Timothy to do. He calls Timothy to endure, to keep on going. The word endure has a number of meanings. It means to exist for a long time. So you may have an enduring memory of something from the past. But it also means to suffer something difficult, unpleasant, or painful. And with those two meanings, we get the idea of what Paul was saying to Timothy here. Timothy, in the face of opposition to the gospel from inside the church and outside the church, persevere, endure, continue faithfully to teach the gospel, relying on God's strength. And Paul goes on to give Timothy three illustrations of what it means to endure. The first is to endure hardship with us like a good soldier, verse 3. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I'm afraid recent events in Ukraine have shown us very starkly what it means to be a soldier. You see the images of the soldiers in their bunkers and working drones from there and then coming out. They are constantly on the front line, constantly facing the battle. And that's what Paul is meaning for Timothy here. Timothy, be out there on the front line. And that, yes, it will mean suffering and you will need to endure. But gospel work is hard. And gospel work involves suffering. And friends, we're called to do the same. We're called to be soldiers. That is, to be on the front line. We had the mission back in October. And my fear always when you have a mission like that, a focused time of sharing the gospel, is that at the end of it, everybody heaves a sigh of relief. That's over. We can forget about that now. Back to base, put our feet up. No. We are called to be soldiers. And as soldiers, we are to be always on the front line. People around us are dying without knowing about Jesus Christ. We need to be out there. We need to be meeting people. We need to be talking with people, praying with people, inviting people. We have to endure hardship like a soldier on the front line. Verse 5. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. We're to endure hardship like an athlete. Perhaps one of the best athletes of modern times is Jessica Ennis-Hill. Great heptathlete. And she said this, and I quote, "Training is full on. Some days I really don't want to get out of bed and hit that track again. Sunday, Monday morning sessions are always horrible." Being an athlete involves self-discipline. And Paul here, when he writes to Timothy and says, endure hardship like an athlete, is referring to self-discipline. The willingness to make sacrifices so that ultimately we may win the victor's crown. The writer to the Hebrews speaks about throwing off everything that hinders so that we might run the Christian race, the self-discipline which is prepared to make sacrifices for the sake of the gospel. Like a soldier, like an athlete, and then thirdly, endure hardship like a farmer. And the emphasis for Timothy there is simply hard work. Hard work. Now, I know that many, many jobs are jolly hard work. And Christian ministry, whatever our ministry is, can be hard work. But we persevere. We keep on going. And there is no retirement, by the way. There is no retirement. We keep on going. We persevere. God had given Timothy a gift. His gift was to preach and to teach. And Paul encourages him to persevere in that ministry, despite the opposition, despite the sacrifices, and to labor on. But he doesn't leave it there. If we flip over the page to page 1196, Paul explains why he was calling Timothy to endure. And first of all, he points to the example of Jesus in verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. Remember Jesus, raised from the dead. In order that Jesus could be raised from the dead, he had to die on a cross. He had to go through suffering. He endured suffering. And that's what Paul is saying to Timothy. Look at Jesus. Follow Jesus' example. Yes, ultimately we will receive the victor's crown. But the way to that is through suffering. It's through suffering. The writer to the Hebrews puts it like this. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. The example of Jesus helps us to see why we, serving the gospel, suffer, because Jesus did. He endured the cross to receive the victor's crown. But Paul also encouraged Timothy to look at Paul himself, end of verse 8 and into verse 9. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained, like a criminal, but God's word is not chained. Paul knew what it was to suffer for the gospel, and he was encouraging Timothy, look at Jesus, look at me, this is the way, this is the standard. Jesus suffered, Paul suffered, Timothy would suffer. And then in verse 10, Paul spells out why. Look at verse 10 with me if you would. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Why endure hardship? So that others can hear the gospel. So that others who are yet to come to faith can hear of God's great love for us, in that while we were still sinners, while we were cut off from God, God sent his own Son into the world. Yes, to live in this world, but supremely to die on a cross, taking the punishment that you and I deserve, so that we can be forgiven, so that we can be restored into a relationship with God, so that we can know God's grace and blessing now and for all eternity. That great gospel, which has changed hearts and lives down the century, is something worth suffering for, is something worth enduring hardship for. That's why Paul was in prison, because he wanted people to hear about the love of God in Jesus Christ. That's why he encouraged Timothy to go through hardship as well, so that others may come to faith in Jesus Christ. I've referred to the mission we had back in October. You know, that mission wasn't done by Roger Carswell. It wasn't done by a few people that Roger interviewed. It was done by lots of people. Many of us invited people, and we may not have found that easy. For some of us, our friends didn't come. We didn't find that easy. Many of you set out tables, served drinks, cleaned up afterwards, and so on. It was hard. And why did we do it? For the sake of people who have yet to come to faith, so that people may obtain salvation that is in Christ Jesus with his eternal glory. And that's why we persevere. That's why we continue with the gospel. And then finally, in verses 11 through 13, we have what seems a kind of hymn of assurance. The hymn of assurance that if we do persevere, if we do run the race to the end, we will receive the victor's crown. But if we reject God, then God will be true to his word of warning, and ultimately we will be cut off from him for all eternity. These words that Paul has to say to Timothy may seem tough to us, but we need to hear this message. Realizing that Timothy was facing opposition to his teaching, Paul called him to find strength in God's grace so that he might continue true to the teaching he'd received from Paul and persevere in the ministry God had called him to. And friends, there's no doubt at all that today we need Timothys. That is, we need ministers of the word who will draw strength from God that they might be true to the gospel and might endure in gospel ministry for the sake of those yet to come to faith. But friends, the same is true for each and every one of us here in church this morning or watching online. Whatever our ministry is, we labor on in that ministry in the strength that God gives us, holding true to the word of God. And we do it all so that people may obtain salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your grace through which many of us here this morning or watching online have come to know Jesus Christ and to be born again. But we thank you also, Father, for that grace which strengthens us. Strengthens us in the ministry that you've called us to. Strengthens us to hold fast to Jesus Christ and to persevere. May we day by day, through prayer, draw on that grace and strength that we may be faithful soldiers, athletes, farmers in the fields that you've called us to, so that others may come to faith through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.